Blind Cool Tech, March 3rd, 2006.
You're listening to Blind Cool Tech, the podcast about ordinary, everyday blind people, coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky. Now, here's the host of Blind Cool Tech, Larry Skuchkon.
Hey, y'all. How you doing? I'm Larry Skuchkon, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. I hope you'll join me for about a 40-minute walk while I head home on a Friday afternoon. Kind of a pretty one, actually, here in Louisville, Kentucky. I'll be walking home with Jake, my guide dog. Good boy, Jake. And got a few things I'd like to talk with you about today. But let me start out by saying I am using the Innovative Specialist microphones that go over your ears with the MicroTrack recorder. Some of the things I'd like to talk about today, a review of the Olympus that was pretty negative. I want to get to that and talk about some of the issues. The talent show and various miscellaneous other things. So, let's start out. Good boy, little buddy. With the talent show and our media. First of all, on the talent show, wow. Congratulations, you guys. That was some awesome, awesome stuff. All of it was amazing. I really wish I had the slightest bit of musical talent. I thought about making a submission of me pounding out some code. Good boy, little buddy. Oh. But I didn't do that. I didn't think that'd be too entertaining. That's about all I'm good at. I really wanted to get that file up there after all the hard work Neil did on that, chasing copyrights down and putting it all together in an excellent production. But alas, our media came to bite me again. Actually, this problem happened to me when I first started and really pretty much quit and hasn't happened until the last time it happened was on the Thanksgiving show. And I've come to the conclusion that, like with computers in general, I'm beginning to believe that our media has some kind of urgency detector built into it. Because the less time that I have, and the more urgent it is to get that file up there in a timely manner, the more likely it's going to be that our media is going to give me an error. And this one yesterday was particularly frustrating because it was such a big file. It took, oh, a good half hour, 40 minutes before you found out it was giving you an error. And I was telling Neil, I've learned from our media that when you get an error, don't even bother looking at your stuff. Just wait about 3 or 4 hours. I usually try it again once just to make sure that it wasn't a fluke, but the only remedy really is to wait. Now, I've gotten around the problem by uploading the file to the Blind Cool Tech website and then just linking to it from there. And then when our media clears up, just change the link on the enclosure tag and the link on the webpage. So that works out well, but it's just so frustrating. Good boy, little buddy. Well, you'll have to excuse my voice today. I had a cold for the last 2 or 3 days. I mean, my nose is sore and running. Oh. It was gorgeous here yesterday, too. I think it was almost 70 degrees yesterday and the day before. Now, there was no school for the Jefferson County public schools today, so the traffic should be a little less this afternoon. It was very light this morning on the way in, but the wind was so heavy that I really didn't think we could get a good recording. Speaking of wind, I believe it was Wednesday morning we were walking to work, and the wind was, I'm just guessing, probably 20 or 30 miles an hour steady. Probably 15 or 20, really. I'm not good at estimating wind. It was a good steady wind, though. And it was blowing things, and that really made Jake nervous. He was looking everywhere. At one point, there was a paper cup blowing down the road, or I assume it was a paper cup, and he jumped back. So that's a interesting aspect of Jake that I hadn't actually noticed before. I guess he was just trying to be on the ball and be extra conscientious. There's a back to the Blind Cool Tech talent show. There apparently were a few submissions to the talent show where the Neil couldn't verify the copyright, and I'm 100% behind Neil and taking a cautious approach, but it does bring up the question, you know, what is too cautious? What's going overboard on this? Especially in a lot of cases where a little bit of exposure would really benefit the artist. I don't have the answers to this. I don't even claim to be able to scratch the surface on all the issues. I can talk about some of the obvious ones, but it's, you know, it's pretty sad when we're such a litigious society that, you know, it prevents having a little bit of fun like this and missing out on some great talent when there really probably and most likely was not going to be any kind of detriment to any copyright holder, but yet we have to be safe. We have to take the conservative, well, safe approach. Good boy. That's a good little buddy. Good doggy. The Japanese auto manufacturers, in fact, I've read, I don't know if this is true or not, have some pretty interesting features in some of their newer models that they won't export to the United States because of the high degree of litigiousness in our country. Some of these particular features that I've read about are a automatic parallel parking feature in some of the new Hondas, I believe, and actual ability to browse the internet from the dashboard of your car. And apparently, the way I understand it, the manufacturers, in the case, for instance, of the parallel parking, are really worried that that some child is going to step into the path of the car at the last moment, or the driver's not going to do their part to engage this system in a safe way, and then they see themselves opened up to lawsuits from this kind of technology. And I suspect it's the same way with the browsing part of it. You can just see the case where somebody's tooling down the road at 80 miles an hour and got their eyes glued on the dashboard of their favorite porn site or whatever, and just get carried away and lose track of the operation of the vehicle. So, this extreme fondness for the ability to sue is really coming back to bite us in many ways. I suppose we could have a debate about our legal system and how far things go that would last from now until whenever, and it's really not our purpose to settle these kind of things, but as some people on the list have pointed out, it probably is our purpose to push the envelope in areas that we believe in, where we see that the legislation needs changing. Need to go to the bathroom, Jakey? Go ahead. Stop here for just a moment. Right by the tracks. But, whether we want to do that or not, I think is a decision we need to make among ourselves. I'm a game for some things, obviously. And speaking of that, and litigiousness, let's, hold on a sec, good boy, okay. Let's put the shoe on the other foot here and talk about some reasons we do need to take some action. And I'm talking about the Google verification, the Google word verification petition at blindwebaccess.net. Or is it .com? Oh, man. I want to say net, but if that's not it, try them both. This visual verification is quickly becoming more than just a pain in the butt. It really is denying a lot of services to a lot of people. I sent a message around to everyone at APH to please sign that petition and pass the word on. And one of the girls that works there, who's not a techie person at all, she's a regular computer user, she wrote me this morning and told me she actually had gotten locked out twice this week on visual verification sites. One of them, she had bought a new Sirius radio. Satellite radio, and couldn't activate it because of the visual verification. Now, sometimes you have to wonder, is it really necessary that they have to do that, to activate a radio where there's hardware involved? Apparently they think so. And I will give it to these people that I'm sure they're not necessarily aware that they're locking people out. Now, Google knows, yeah. A lot of these other companies don't. I think I mentioned to you, I tried to pass on an article to someone that I was reading from a website. And just to do that, you had to have had to go through the visual verification process. Now, I was very pleasantly surprised the other day when I read an article from a journal in the UK, and I actually talked to the guy over Skype the other day. I'll get the specifics of the magazine and so forth, but they added an audio link to their visual verification, apparently in a matter of days. And it's a very good audio link too, because they went on past what Microsoft had done, and actually went ahead and provided the phonetic pronunciations of the letters. So I remember when I first signed up for my passport account with Microsoft, I had a devil of a time distinguishing between an F and an X, because the synthesized speech was so crappy and just couldn't hear it. Well, this site, like I said, uses the military code of phonetics. So for JXFS, they might say Juliet X-ray Foxtrot Sierra. And then they would repeat it. So it was very nice. It was easy to get the letters. And, you know, the fact that it was done so quickly and easily really makes you wonder what in the world is going on at Google. Do they just not care? Do they just not know? Surely they know. And if they don't, I think this petition will help bring the issue to their attention. I'm sure Daryl has made it abundantly clear to them what the problems are. So I really am anxious to hear what's going to be done about this. This really let that bus go. This really is quickly becoming an issue that we have got to take some action on. You know, it's even if you do live with a sighted person that can read the screen to you, you know, a lot of times you want to do this stuff when, you know, you're up, you've got some time to yourself, or you choose to stay up late past the rest of the family, or maybe you want to get up earlier than anyone else to get some stuff done. Well, that's one of the things you ain't going to do. And it's a shame. It really makes me feel discriminated against. It makes me feel helpless. And I can't stand to feel helpless. So please, go over to blindwebaccess.com or net and sign that petition. Tell everybody you know to sign that petition. Shane Jackson did an excellent promo for that. And I will try to include it here, but in case you want to hear it before then, Daryl's got it over at his site at blindaccessjournal.com, and so does Shane at shaneslivejournal.net, I believe it is. So thanks for doing that, Shane. That's an excellent and very clear representation of what the problem is. Good doggy. Let's see, what else have we got on our plate for today? Oh, one of the, good boy. Okay. Good boy. One of the topics that came up on the list was, you know, we were wondering how many young people are on this list, and I hope there's a lot. There seems to be quite a few. But it always reminds me of the email thing I'm sure you've all seen floating around, where they talk about a person that's 20 years old, and they list out some of the technologies that these young, or not just technologies, but events that these young people aren't familiar with at all. And I mean, you know, some of the obvious ones are vinyl records and 8-track tapes, but you'd be surprised at some of the other ones that that are, you know, technologies that are older than 20 years old that seem new to some of us. So I really need to try to find that that list and pass it on. It makes you feel pretty old reading that. I mean, I remember when I was a kid back in the early 60s, when the first color TVs were coming into the neighborhood. And, wow, all the kids in the neighborhood would go down to one guy's house and have the color TV on Saturday mornings, watch the cartoons. And we'd go over there every, I forget if it was what night of the week it was, but we had to see Batman in color. So, I think one of the things that came up on the list was punch cards. And I was lucky enough to get into computing at University of Arkansas at Little Rock the year after they did away with the punch cards. So I didn't get to experience this fully, but the way it worked was that instead of a line of code in an editor, the computers interpreted their instructions by you, or the operator, punching out holes into a cardboard card. And there were optical sensors that detected the positions of these holes, and assigned words or letters or symbols depending on the location of the holes in the punch card. So a whole stack of punch cards had to be in order, and like I say, each punch card pretty much represented a line in a text editor to a program. So if you made a mistake, you had to find that punch card and redo it and put it back in the sequence in the stack. I guess the worst experience I've had similar to that is trying to actually writing a whole operating system for a device back several years ago, and not having an emulator to test this on. So we would actually have to burn the code onto an EEPROM and then physically put this chip into the device, turn it on, and test it. And, you know, this is already in the days when, you know, sometimes sloppy programming practice, I know, but it was often easier to run the compiler to get a check for errors than to, you know, look it up in the documentation or carefully go through your syntax. So, I can feel your pain. I think it was Mary that told the story of dropping a whole stack of those punch cards. And what a mess that would be to get those back in order. Something that I started to touch on last week or earlier this week on the walk home was this RSS readers. This idea of RSS readers to deliver the news to you. And if you're not familiar with an RSS reader, of course, most of us are familiar with RSS files, because that's what podcasting uses. It actually uses a few extensions to the original specifications, namely the enclosure tag. But before podcasting came around, and still to this day, websites set up their content that was frequently updated onto RSS feeds. So you could use a program like an RSS reader. Sharp Reader is the one I use that I find pretty accessible. I'd like to try out NewsGator. I hadn't done it yet. Okay, good boy. Somebody thought you were cute there, little buddy. So this RSS reader goes and checks the websites and any new content. It shows you just actually in a list box in the case of our Sharp Reader. And then if you want to read the story, you click on it and opens up the link. And the whole idea is that this thing, like the Podcatcher, which is really an extension of the older RSS readers, just goes out to all the sites that you've deemed interesting to you and gets the new material so that it's easy for you to get to. And then if you decide you want to read it, you can go to it. Now, when I first heard about these, I thought, oh man, this is great. This is how we can get news quickly and easily. Well, it turns out that's not quite the case. Most of the sites that I've tried to subscribe to have been really poor at delivering the content once you open up the article. I mean, basically, you're just on a regular web page and you still have to wade through all the advertising and the navigation links and everything at the top of the screen. And I realize there's some ways you can use your screen reader to get around that stuff, but surely to goodness, there's got to be some RSS feeds out there that actually contain the story without all the garbage at the top of it. I mean, that really is something I and probably many other people would be willing to pay for. Good boy. Now, Matt Campbell heard that cast and sent me a note saying that Freedom Box had some RSS feeds that were just what I was asking for. So I did go ahead and sign up for a 30-day demo and started looking around at their news. I need to go back to it, though. I hadn't really got exactly what I'm after yet. So I'll keep you guys posted on that. Speaking of modern technology, have you guys heard about the new little boxes that are out that are a combination Wi-Fi and cell network internet access? So what you've got is anywhere from a $300 to $600 box that contains a cell, the guts to get your cell phone connected to the internet. Now, you still have to pay your cell phone company, I think probably around $80 a month is the going rate. And what this thing does is it grabs that signal and then puts it out on a regular 8011G Wi-Fi signal so that a laptop anywhere in the area can have access to it. Well, you might wonder, what's so great about that? Well, what's so great about that is that you can actually, anywhere that your cell phone can pick up that internet signal, you've got a hotspot. You've got access to the internet. You don't have to be in range of a Wi-Fi because you're broadcasting your Wi-Fi right from your cell phone connection. Really interesting idea. And of course, the cell phone companies aren't too keen with this, as you can imagine. But, you know, like this article I was reading mentioned, the cable companies weren't too crazy about the idea of multiple computers using a broadband connection in your house either. But, you know, they originally wanted to charge you the full price for every connection, and then they backed down to, well, for only $10 a month, you can add, you know, for each computer, $10 a month. And I think they quickly realized that people were doing this anyway, and it was no big deal to do it to them or to the people. So this may be the same way. We'll have to see. It's a really interesting concept. One of the other things I'd love to chat with you guys about sometime is creating different ways to create podcasts, especially when you're blind and visually impaired. So, for instance, it would be really nice, like Lynette or Mary or Hope, Kelly, those of you that have got some podcasts set up with the traditional Libsyn and maybe WordPress or what have you, kind of go through and show us how you set that up and how you actually create a podcast. I'm doing mine with a really customized solution that I wrote myself, and it's got advantages and it's got disadvantages. One of the big disadvantages is that I can't just walk up to any computer anywhere and update my database. My core data resides on my local machine. So if I'm going to go on the road, I need to copy that over to my laptop. And then when I get back, I need to make sure I copy it back to the original machine. Obviously, it'd be a lot more efficient for the portability aspect of it if the data resided on the remote server, and then of course periodically one would back that up to their local machine. But a discussion of those techniques, you know, how you make links on your page, how you make show notes, would be definitely in order. I've been looking very closely at WordPress and really impressed with how easy it is to add entries. It's set up to automatically generate RSS feeds from you, from your blog entries. I think WordPress is really a blog. Blog, by the way, for those of you that don't know, is a weblog. It's a, what's the word that means a combination of two words? I don't even know now. Anyway, it's short for a weblog. So, kind of a diary type of thing, except that it's public and people can make comments on it. And now with the podcast, you can also have links or enclosure tags. So one of the things about WordPress that I noticed is you can actually set it up. Yeah, please wait. Okay, good boy. Good boy to the car. Good boy to you too, Jay. There you go, little buddy. Good boy. All right, we're turning right on Grinstead. Oh, man, we got some sunshine. It feels very good right here. One of the things you can do with WordPress is set it up so that you can actually send an email to a specific address that contains your show notes or your blog entry or whatever you want to call it. That's it, little buddy. Good doggy. Somebody's left their recycling bin out, I think. And it'll automatically go ahead and add that to the web page right then and there. Most of the time, what you usually do is to log on to the administrative. Well, we gotta go ahead. That's it. Come on. Okay, what is that? Oh, big orange cone. I wonder what's going on here. How about, guess I'll just go up in this yard and hopefully stay out of their whatever they're getting into. Come on. Oh man, this is dug up. I must have had some drainage problems here. Whoa, okay. There sure is. That's not the way to go. There we go.
Tarp on the, I got a dog too.
Okay. How about Jake? That reminds me, the other night Joe and I were driving down the street and there was a statue of St. Joseph right over there where that little detour area is that I take. Oh, man, I've got mud on my feet. And somebody had taken one of those orange road cones and put on the statue's head. So we got a pretty good kick out of that. It was kind of neat because it wasn't vandalism, really. Well, it kind of was. But it wasn't destructive. Oh, let's see if we can get our recycling bin, Jay. Let's go back over here. I put it over on the other side of the driveway this time. Looks like somebody already got it. Good. Okay. Let's go inside then. Good boy. All right. Let's continue this interesting discussion. And you guys have a great one. And we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at www.blindcooltech.com. If you would like to contact us, our email is blindcooltech@gmail.com. You can also subscribe to the Blind Cool Tech email list at blindcooltech-request@freelists.org. Our phone number is 206-984-9203, where you may leave voicemail feedback about the show.
That's coming pretty close.